invite you now to bow your heads with me briefly as we prepare our hearts to reflect on the Christmas account we had read for us a short time ago. Well, Father, again, as we gather this evening, we thank you for the gift of your Son. And as we pause and as we reflect upon the events of that night, the night of his coming, we pray that you would speak to us again about who he is, what he has accomplished for us, and why this is so incredibly important for us and for all people. So bless us this evening. Speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, again, throughout the season of Advent and now to Christmas, we have been looking at a series we've just called The Message, but we have been looking at the message of God as it relates to Jesus' birth. And we've looked specifically at the message as it was given to both Mary and to Joseph. But as we gather this evening for our Christmas Eve service, we're going to look at this message as it was given to another group of people. It was the group of people that was talked about in Luke chapter 2, which Marvin read for you just a little bit ago. But we'll look at it as it was given to the shepherds. Now, on the night that Jesus was born, we are told, there were some shepherds. And these shepherds, they were simply doing what shepherds do. They were out in the field and they were keeping watch over their flocks by night. So they were watching over their flocks to ensure that they were safe. Sheep, after all, from what I've read and been told, they're very easily startled. And in addition to this, predators are a very real threat. But as they did so, an angel of the Lord appeared to them. As they did so, the glory of the Lord, we are told, appeared around them. It shone around them. And seeing this great sight filled them with fear. I think this is reasonable because, after all, this is not something that people see every day. This, in fact, was a sight that they had never seen before, and it was clear to them that this was nothing ordinary or worldly that was happening around them. Based on the words of the angel, it seems also that they may have feared what he had to say to them. They may have feared a message of warning, or perhaps worse yet, even a message of judgment. But the angel then spoke to them, reassuring them, and as we heard, he said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And after sharing this message, there were suddenly a multitude of the heavenly host. Many more angels, in other words, suddenly appeared, and they praised God. They praised God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." So again, this evening we'll focus on the words of the angel as they were delivered to the shepherds. And as we do so, we see, first of all, that they had nothing to fear. They had nothing to fear as the message, the angel rather, brought to them a message of good news. He brought to them a message of good news, of great joy. And the message that he brought was that on that very day a Savior had been born to them. This had taken place, said the angel, in the city of David. So in other words, this had happened in the town of Bethlehem. And the Savior, he told them, is none other than Christ the Lord. Now, I know many of us today, we sometimes think of the term Christ like a last name. We think of it like John Doe or Susan Smith, right? But Christ is not a name at all. Christ is a title. It's the Greek form of the word Messiah. And it refers to one who has been anointed. That's the actual meaning of the word, anointed one, someone who has been anointed by God for a great purpose. And this is what we have been talking about all throughout the season of Advent up until now. As we heard in the first message of this series, he is one who would assume the throne of his father David and who would reign on that throne forever. So this Christ then would be a king. More than that, he was to be called Emmanuel. He would be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. So this Christ then would be none other than God in the flesh. He would also, as we heard this morning, be the Savior of his people. But the salvation that he came to bring was not a worldly salvation. It wasn't a salvation from worldly problems or worldly oppressors. This Christ, we find, would save his people from their sins. So the Savior, in other words, is the one whose coming had been foretold. He is the one to whom all of Scripture testified. This was the Christ, the Messiah, who had been promised by God from the very, very beginning. The first promise of the Savior, you may recall, was given as soon as sin entered into the world. It was given to Adam and Eve at the time of the fall, as God issued his judgment, as he spoke to them about the consequences of their sin. He spoke also of the offspring of the woman. He spoke of the offspring of the woman who would defeat the devil, who had deceived them, and who had led them into sin. And from that point on, God spoke continuously of the Savior who was to come. He did so through the patriarch Joseph. He did so through Abraham. He did so through Job. He did so through David. He did so through Isaiah and the prophets. The people then anticipated the coming of the Christ. They looked forward to that. And more than that, they longed for it. This, the angel declared to the shepherds, is the one who had been born to them. The one who had been promised to them was now here. The one for whom they had longed, he was now born into the world. And not only were they told about his birth, they were enabled to see him. They were enabled to go and to lay eyes on him for themselves. They would find him, the angel said, wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. They then went to Bethlehem for that very purpose. They went to see the one about whom the angel had spoken. They went and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And they made known the message which had been shared with them. However, as wonderful as this message was, it was not for them alone. This message, the angel told them, was for all people. Now, although this may seem obvious to us, this is very important for us to stop and consider. It's important because our tendency is to believe that the good news of Jesus' birth is intended not for all, but only for some. Our tendency, again, is to believe that this message is much more narrowly focused. Most of us tend to believe, for example, that it was intended for the Jews. And we think this way because the Jews, after all, are the chosen people. They were the people chosen by God to be his own. They were the people to whom he gave the promised land. And this promise, yes, it was absolutely intended for the Jews, but it was never intended for the Jews alone. Although they most certainly were chosen by God, and although they were absolutely given the promised land, this promise was intended for everyone. We can see this in the promise given by God to their forefather Abraham. We see it in the promise given to Abraham from whom all of their people were descended. In Genesis 12, starting in verse 1, the Lord said, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So God certainly gave his promise to Abraham. And he certainly made Abraham into a great nation, which refers to the people of Israel. But God, however, said that he would bless Abraham that he might be a blessing. And he said that in him, that in Abraham, all families of the earth would be blessed. And ultimately, you see, this points us to Jesus. It's in Jesus, who is descended from Abraham, that he was enabled to be a blessing. It's through Jesus that all families of the earth are blessed. But again, it's clear from this that God's promise was never intended for only a few. It was never intended for the Jews alone. It was intended for everyone. However, even hearing this, many of us continually struggle with this idea that the message of Jesus' birth is truly for all. We always try to limit it in some way. And our tendency is to limit it to ourselves. Our tendency is to limit it to those who are like us, with those, or to those with whom we're comfortable. For some, this may be an issue of race. It may be an issue of nationality. Because they look like us and because they share our customs, we believe the Savior was born for these people alone. For others, it's about other factors. It's about those who don't seem overly rebellious. It's about those who aren't too wild and crazy. We know that Jesus came for people who are relatively good. But it's hard for us to accept that he came for the rest, that he came for everyone. For still others, it may be an issue of sin. And what I mean when I say this is that it may be an issue of a specific sin. Although we realize we are all sinners, there are some sins that to us are deal breakers when it comes to God's salvation. We don't want to believe that God would ever save a murderer. We don't want to believe that God would ever save a rapist. We don't want to believe that he would ever save a child molester. But again, according to the angel, this message is not only for some. This message is for all. And this is a reality that we see all throughout the Word of God. We're told in 2 Peter 3:9, for example, that God does not want anyone to perish. He desires, rather, that all should reach repentance. And in 1 Timothy 2:4, we see that he wants all to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. As he then desires that all should be saved, it makes sense that the message of the Savior is for everyone. It makes sense that this message was not limited in any way. And just like the message of the Savior's birth was for everyone, so too was his coming. We're told also in Scripture that the death Jesus died was not only for a few. It too was for all. We're told in 1 John 2:2 that Jesus is the propitiation, that he is the atoning sacrifice for the sin of the whole world. Again, as God desires the salvation of all, he provided for the salvation of all. He paid for the sin of not only some people, but for the sin of all people. And this blessing is available to all people through faith in him. This is what the Apostle Paul tells us in Romans 10. Starting in verse 12 of that chapter, he writes, "For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." So we again learn from this that the gospel is for everyone. The Lord Paul says, is Lord of all, and he gives blessings. He bestows riches upon all who call upon him. Everyone who calls upon him, he tells us, will be saved. It's for this reason, then, that Jesus called his followers to proclaim the gospel, not only to a few, but to the whole creation. It's for this reason that he told them to make disciples of all nations. And it's for this reason that he called them to be his witnesses to the very ends of the earth. And finally, in Scripture, we see this played out. We see it played out in the book of Revelation. We see it played out as God revealed this in a vision given to the Apostle John. Starting in verse 9 of chapter 7, we read this. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. So we see here that in the end, people from every nation will be gathered before the Lord. People from every tribe will be gathered before him. Those from every people and language will stand before him, and together they will praise God for the salvation that he has provided. So this affirms once again that the message delivered by the angel was for absolutely everyone. It confirms that Jesus was born for everyone. It confirms that he died for everyone. And it confirms that his salvation is available for all people. Now, as we consider this truth, we may find it challenging. We may find it challenging as it doesn't allow us to limit God's message in any way. We may find it challenging as it doesn't allow us to exclude anyone. And in this way, it shows us our own sin and our need for forgiveness. And as we have sought to limit the gospel to a certain people, we certainly must repent. As we've tried to keep the gospel from certain people, we must repent. We must acknowledge the sinfulness of our attitude, asking for God's forgiveness and ask him to give us his heart. We must ask him to give us his heart for all who are lost. However, that being said, this truth is also one that is very comforting. And it's comforting because we sometimes tend to think that this message is for everyone but us. We tend to exclude not others but ourselves from this message. And there are several reasons for this. We sometimes think that we are too sinful for God to love us. We sometimes think that we are too sinful for salvation. Or sometimes we think that God wouldn't want anything to do with a people like ourselves. As we think this way, yes, we rightly understand our sin. We rightly understand our guilt. We rightly understand the punishment we deserve. But for this reason, we struggle with the message of God's forgiveness. This message is comforting then, because it tells us very simply that the message of Jesus' birth is not only for others, but it's also for you. And it's for me. We're assured then that this message, this good news of great joy brought by the angel, it's for you and it's for me. And we're assured that the Savior who was born that very night, the Savior who ultimately gave his life, he was born and he died for you and for me. No matter our sin, God desires our salvation. No matter our guilt, his promise is for us. No matter the punishment we deserve, he has provided for us his salvation. No matter our shame, we can receive this salvation through faith in his Son. So my hope and prayer this Christmas is that we might each receive this truth in its fullness. My hope is that we'll keep this message from no one but freely share it with all that we meet. And my hope is that first and foremost we'll receive it for ourselves, that we'll both understand and believe that the message of Jesus' birth, it's for us, and that we'll find both hope and comfort in this truth. Amen. Let's bow our heads together. Heavenly Father, we thank you again this evening for this very simple message, a message we have heard many times before, but one that we quite frankly struggle with. And we pray, Lord, that you would remove our doubts, that you would remove the obstacles to our faith, that we might fully believe the message of the Savior's coming as it was proclaimed on the night of his birth. May we ever look to Jesus and trust in him for the forgiveness and the salvation that we do so desperately need. And we ask this all in his name this evening. Amen.